Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, big pay-per-view week. How's it going, brother?
Pretty good. Sorry about for the folks that tune in and watch and listen every week. Sorry we're doing this a day late, 48 hours away from UFC 295, but I had some scheduling issues. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. It's not just UFC 295. As you guys know, I work for Spectation Sports, and we have two events streaming on that platform. I had fighters, I had an interview and scheduling, and just ran into this, and unfortunately, we had to push it back a day. But I mean, I feel like, Matt, it's close. The closer we get to doing our picks, the more accurate we can be when it comes to fights falling off prior to them weighing in, which is tomorrow morning here on the East Coast. So I'm kind of like glad that we waited till today, but. You never know. I mean, John Castaneda, who's on the undercard, is fighting at a catchweight already. And I think the last time he fought in New York when it was under Combate Americas up in upstate New York, which is a few years ago now, pre-Endeavor UFC days, you know, he was in some tournament or something and he had the same issues. I don't know if it's New York or the weather. Maybe he's just not made, you know, not doesn't like fighting far from the warmer temperatures, but. Should be a fun card, man. I'm looking forward to this card. And again, the stuff on Spectation Sports for folks that want a little more than just UFC, it's a Mecca 20. And I spoke with Johnny Hopper, who's fighting on the main event there. And then Cage Titan 62, it's also in the Northeast up north in Massachusetts at Plymouth Hall. I spoke with Mitch Raposo. Both guys have been at the UFC's doorstep, so they're kind of like featured fighters. And so it should be some fun fights. There's other stuff going on this weekend, man. This, what were we just talking about?
Yeah, no, the we had the bare knuckle press conference today. I didn't get to catch that. The BKFC press conference for the December 2nd, Mike Perry, Eddie Alvarez mega event. Apparently, fairly entertaining for a press conference in 2023.
Yeah. I mean. We got a little preview. You get by if you haven't seen it yet. Eddie Alvarez and Mike Perry already punch tested each other. They punch each other in the stomach a couple times just to see how the knuckles feel against the flesh. I guess right in the belly. Nothing's like crazy. Nothing like out of control. It was actually like an agreed upon thing that they did when they faced off in front of David Feldman. And there's a couple of other good videos out there in the BKFC socials. But if you had to gauge of press conferences, man, I hate to say it. I know. You know, the Zuffa zombies, I don't even know why we call them. We should call them Endeavor zombies, Ari Emanuel zombies. But they'll disagree with us. But like, you know, if you watched two press conferences today, the 295 and the BKFC one, the BKFC one was definitely more fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of atmosphere, too. They're a little bit more open to, obviously, freestyle. I didn't get to catch either one of them. But I imagine Pavlovich and you know, some of those guys aren't exactly, you know,
they can't all be Conor McGregor. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And that seems like that's like four killers on the top of that card that aren't really interested in talking. You know what I mean? It's not a fan friendly, you know, let's talk shit. We're going to hurt.
Yeah. What was funny about it was that there was a lot of questions kind of like mad thirsty trying to drum up interest in a card that Damon Martin posted a ticket sale thing, a recent one of people, the amount of people trying to resell their tickets for the event after the news of the whole, you know, Jones Stiopic fight falling apart. So I mean, it's probably not going to be their best, because usually when they come to the Garden, it's good. It's fantastic. But I mean, it could still be. We're talking shit. The fight hasn't happened yet. But the card is actually not bad, especially if you've been following a lot of guys. The undercard is what I like a lot more than the main card. Like Pat Sabatini's on it. Jared Gordon is on it, who, I mean, if you see, watch the interviews he's been doing, Jared Flash Gordon, I mean, he's from New York, lives in New York. I think he's in Queens, you know, tight with Sergio Da Silva, folks from the fighters from New York that were like really deep in their own little clan here. Dennis Bazooka, who's trains with Aljamain Sterling, is on the card. Then Josh Van, who fought on Spectation Sports. I think I mentioned Pat Sabatini already. So a lot of Northeast guys that are probably going to bring in some folks to pack the house. And if they haven't gotten tickets yet, maybe check again, see if those prices are more friendly to folks, normal folks, instead of the Endeavor one percenters that they obviously want to.
Yeah, I as somebody who
oil money people,
you know, I know a lot about buying tickets and I follow the things, you know, that I don't the resale tickets isn't really that unordinary. A lot of that is the StubHub tickets, you know, the same people who have them listed on all the it's the bots that buy up the tickets, assuming that this is going to sell out and go crazy with John Jones. And a lot of them got caught. So there is going to be some of that. A lot of that's not normal people like me or you. Because we would look at that and go, there's no market for it. You know, it's more just kind of the people that just have to put them on there. Cause if they don't, they're going to lose their ass because they bought, you know, their computer bought, you know, 150 tickets and nobody's buying them. So, but there was a lot of blue, a lot more blue than I expected to see, which are face value tickets that just never sold from the start. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's New York City, man. There's going to be a walk up crowd. Like,
yeah, it's Veterans Day weekend too. And like, there's going to be people off if they go, if they just jump into the city and want something to do. And they're like, you know, a 3-day weekend and Saturday night, they're like, hey, what are we going to do? Let's catch these fights.
If you're on vacation in Vegas, you know, the amount, the cost of the shows and everything, New York City. If they're, you know, the cost of all the shows and everything, If you were just to, you know, going there to look to spend some money and go see some stuff, you might splurge more than, you know, somebody who just goes to fights and you know, when they're coming to town, you know, it gets expensive when, you know, I know at one point I think it was around $500. I think it's dropped now. I think you can probably get in the door for closer to, you know, 300 if you look in the right spots and really just kind of look. That's really the key. You got to check multiple sites. Some sites will have stuff listed. The same ticket can be listed different prices on a couple of the sites. So, you know, I'd recommend basically just, you know, obviously Access or Ticketmaster. And then after that, there's like TickPick and StubHub. Usually kind of check those, maybe Vivid Seats, at least because those are all reputable sites. And and you at least know if you buy your ticket, you're going to get it. Craigslist, all that stuff. Don't ever buy a ticket off of that stuff. You might get away with it 10 times, but that 11th time, it's going to bite you in the ass bad.
Yeah.
Before we get into picks, there is also Bare Knuckle, Masvidal, Gamebred. What is he calling it these days?
It's Bare Knuckle MMA. Bare Knuckle MMA. Yeah.
It's not better than the UFC card because of the top of the UFC card. There's some, you know, like I said, there's some killers that I'm excited to watch. But I mean, just for nostalgic and circus atmosphere, I mean, Alan Belcher, the current BKFC heavyweight champion and former UFC fighter, pretty good contender. I mean, I always knew him for like his jiu-jitsu and submissions. Is how I always kind of felt like he was more of like I always thought of him as a bit of a grappler, who could stand and bang too. But now he's doing bare knuckle MMA, which seems like it fits right down his wheelhouse, considering his background on the ground and his ability to just box.
Let's bring that up. Let's see what's looking at that
Roy
card.
And Roy Nelson, coming off of a knockout in his first win over Dylan Kleckler, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's Roy Nelson swinging bare knuckle. Randy Costa, who's all action fighter, you know, just out of the UFC, against Jason Knight, fresh off the Ultimate Fighter, and you know, a guy who just put on legendary fights in BKFC.
Yeah, so for folks that don't even like, if you're not really, if we haven't really, you know, talked much about bare knuckle MMA, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's
the unified MMA with bare knuckle.
Yeah, with no gloves on.
It's not soccer kicks. It's not knees to the head. Right now, it's the same rules as UFC, but they just have bare knuckles. So yes, there's more blood. Yes, there's more cuts. Yeah, there'd be some more hand injuries. But
I watched
how MMA started. Closer to how MMA started.
And we didn't mention it, but it's going to be on YouTube for free tomorrow night. So if you've got an internet connection and YouTube, there's no reason for you to not watch
Millender,
it.
I mean, you've got some guys on here that are Carl Semenatuafa. I don't know exactly how to say his name, but he, you know, fought in Strikeforce and Bellator, and you know, like they said, Curtis Millender, who was
on the UFC at one point,
has headlined a bunch of other cards since.
Phil Penafiel. Oh, this is a good fight right
Brandon
here.
Brandon Davis.
Wow. Yeah, it's definitely one that. You
know, Francisco Trinaldo. I mean,
who looks like a knucklehead.
28-9 out of the UFC, you know, about what, 20 of those in the UFC. Hector Lombard, former Bellator champion. Guy who, you know, he wasn't super successful in UFC, but had big fights against Dan Henderson and the like. I mean, it's a loaded card for.
Yeah,
this is one where we're not gonna ever get an answer who's paying for all this. But
who cares?
that's the best answer right there.
Like, who cares?
You know, I mean, because we had Dos Santos and Verdun. Put on
it's probably the UFC pays for it so they don't have that antitrust lawsuit nonsense bothering them later in April when the trial starts. But we're not that kind of podcast. So
I do.
We need Eric McGracken to come on and break.
Yeah,
that
the
down
podcast
for us
stuff, the pot or the not the, pot, the pay stuff is what you know, the percentage pay that they've given out. I mean, it's been criminal for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So if this goes to when it goes to jury, if it does, which it looks like it's going to now, there's going to be some fireworks down the line, and you know, the sport definitely could.
April 8th
goes to trial. It's a jury trial, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to mark your calendar April 8th. I read the Forbes article that talked about how everything's the names of the judge and everything, so it should be interesting. And if anyone's following it and you want to like footnotes, definitely follow Eric McGracken, Combat Sports Law himself, because he's got a lot of good information on not only on his website of the stuff that's been filed and all of that, and Paul Gift was the one that wrote the article at Forbes that had the name of the judge and everything with the date. So I already put it in my calendar to just be mindful of it. So should be fun, but that's for 2024. And right now we're just worried about this weekend. So, I guess we should just jump into this card. Again, I mentioned all the local fighters. So, and the good thing about it is, let me bring the card up. The good thing about it is the fighters I mentioned, if you're, you know, folks that have been following MMA in this area, where they have them placed on the card is actually really good because it's on the, you know how they do the early prelims on Fight Pass, and then there's like the middle prelims that are on ESPN News for some reason, I guess because of baseball and all that stuff, that whatever the hell's going on now. They don't want to, you know, ESPN still likes to bottom barrel the MMA when they can. But the Fight Pass portion, that's where Gordon and Mark Mattson are going to headline that portion of the card. So all the fighters I mentioned, Josh Van, John Castaneda, Dennis Bazooka, they're all on the Fight Pass portion. So you'll be able to watch it if you have a Fight Pass account and still support these guys that are part of the scene out here in the Northeast and in New York before they switch over to the regular prelims. Who has ESPN News? I mean, on ESPN Plus too, but I don't got that. I don't pay for that shit. So I'm having a beer, folks. So excuse me if I'm a little loose with my words, but, well, Pat Sabatina versus Diego Lopez, that's the kickoff fight for the main card.
Yeah, that's what I show is that the kicking off. Sorry, my dog's acting
the
up. Pay-per-view
portion.
The pay-per-view portion. Yeah.
Halo's having some beers too.
Yeah. She's excited about a 3-day weekend as well. All right. So, yeah, Pat Sabatini versus Diego Lopez. You know, I looking at this fight, I think I'm going to go with Sabatini to win. I think he's, I just think he's a better fighter. Obviously, he's got less losses on his record, but only a couple less fights though as well. I think he'll pick up a win. Like you said, he's from the region, so
Yeah, CFFC guy, and
yeah.
So he's definitely somebody that I mean, knows. If you're going to try to guess of who I'm going to be picking for while we do our picks, obviously if they're from around here, I'll be picking them. I always fanboy out when the UFC comes to the Madison Square Garden for the local fighters, and Pat Sabatini is my pick as well.
So, next fight, Matt Frivola versus Benoit Saint Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis. Frivola seems to be the. What are the. How are the fans leaning?
He's the underdog. That's
he is the underdog. Seems like a Draft lot of King's people odds. Are on his. You know, I felt like I thought he would have been the favorite. Well, maybe he's just the favorite online.
Yeah, he's got a good following, and he's great. He actually interacts well with anybody that follows him. So,
I was going to go with Frivola. That's what I mean. I think he has some momentum behind him. Seeing the odds, he's a bit more of an underdog than I thought. You know, but I'm more familiar with him. I'll go with Frivola. I'll go with him to win by. If I'm going to pick him to win, I'm going to pick him to win by like second round TKO, where he catches him with something. With those odds, I don't think I want to go into decision. So I'll go the TKO second round.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. So far we're picking the same folks. This fight is really interesting. The strawweight fight, Jessica Andrade versus Mackenzie Dern. I mean, funny enough, I don't know why. You know, they had media day yesterday. And rather than talk about fight preparation and skill and all this stuff, they're getting into these women's personal lives. And that's all the headlines I saw about Mackenzie Dern paying her ex and blah, blah, blah. But I really like this fight. I actually, me being a jiu-jitsu guy, folks probably think I'm going to go with Mackenzie Dern. But I, for some reason, when I looked at this matchup, the first fight that I thought about was when Jessica Andrade fought Rose Namajunas at this weight, and you know, Namajunas tried to grapple her, and that's where her strength came into play. And I feel like the same thing would happen if she tries to do that with Mackenzie Dern. I know Dern's been working on her striking, but I don't know if it's good enough to go against the likes of Andrade, who's only fought like the best people at 115. So I'm actually leaning Andrade on this one.
Same. I kind of like see like female Hoist Gracie versus Marco Huas, and I just you know, I'll go with the king of the streets, Andrade. I the queen of the streets. I think her takedown defense will be good enough to stop the fight going down to the ground, and I think I don't think Dern outboxes her or out toughs her, you know, on the feet.
I find it odd that not all the fights have. We're on the UFC.com website, as always, for these pay-per-views, and there's odds for some, and the fights like this one, I mean, is there something wrong with their menu? No, it's just there's no odds for this fight. There's
no odds. I mean, I would, like you said, I mean, Andrade's fought everybody, and she's been successful against some and had multiple title shots between, you know, 115 and 125, which is, you know, the range this fight is. Dern always scares me trying to get down to 115, you know, so I don't know if she's gotten that completely under control, but it's because it seems like it's never always easy or never easy. I guess, you know, obviously if the fight goes down to the ground, I just think Andrade is good enough to be able to defend submissions and use her strength to get out of the guard and keep the fight standing. And, you know, the only thing would be maybe her, you know, she's short, you know, maybe if Dern's got a really good jab going that night or something, maybe there could be some issues on the feet. But I think Andrade, I think she beats her up kind of pretty well in this fight. If I'm, you know, I don't know if it'll be a finish or not because it's a 3-round strawweight women's bout, you know, statistically that's not real. Doesn't happen a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'll say Andrade wins a decision. Maybe Dern has some success early where they're kind of both dry and is able to maybe drag her down and kind of wrestle around her for a round and win a round. But I think in the long run, she gets beat up is what I kind of think.
Yeah. And I don't know if folks that watch this or listen to this are going to say, oh, but you know, she's gone against Gabby Garcia and other bigger, stronger women when she grappled, but this ain't grappling. This is MMA. There's a lot of other things that can happen in an actual fight versus a submission match, you know? So, and I just think Andrade has the overall, I mean, look at their records overall, the seniority experience is all Andrade. I'm surprised that there's not odds on out there, but if we look them up afterwards, I'm not going to be surprised if Andrade is a favorite. So far, me and Matt are the same. I feel like these last two we may differ, but let's see. I mean, you go first on this one because I already have I have my notes out.
I'm so this is Tom Aspinall versus Sergey Pavlovich. I'm going Pavlovich by destruction. I want him to win. I know cheering for Russian anything is not popular these days, but I do. I've said it a million times. Russian fighters are what really got me to think that think of these fighters as different people. They weren't just people that went to work and then showed up to fight. To me, these are like cyborgish people that, you know, were raised to kind of fight. And like, there's a mystery still for, you know, because it is Russia and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and maybe that mystery steroids and a bunch of bad stuff, but, I just, the Red Devil fight team, you know what I mean? But Oleg Tektarov, the Red Devil fight team, Team Fedor now, even with Nemkov and Moldovsky mm-hmm. and Tokov and both Tokovs. I mean, I'm a fan of Russian Sambo MMA, and I like international fighters. I know Aspinall's international as well, but I like the Russian, Brazilian, you know, Czech, kind of the odder countries that really haven't had a whole lot of. I mean, there's never really been. I mean, there's not like a true Russian champion, right? In UFC, I don't think there has been. I know, you know, Dagestan and stuff, but not, mm-hmm. you know, somebody. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's, you know, he's right for the middle. So I don't know. Easy. Like I said,
what are they doing over there? It's another one with no odds on it, too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty even, if I remember right. I think Pavlovich actually might have been a slight underdog, but it was fairly close. I think Pavlovich ends up taking him down, and they end up in some kind of just clash, and he ends up on top and beats him up on the ground. But either one of these guys winning, I'll be happy with. They're both huge, good, exciting heavyweight fighters, which is something you don't see very often.
Number two and number four ranked guy, it's definitely a fight like that's I think John Anik. That's one thing he alluded to towards the presser during the presser today when folks were kind of like trying to, I don't know if it's underselling or talk about it going under the radar, but I mean, you're not going to have better heavyweight martial artists matching up than these two guys, so that's why I'm surprised that the UFC website that, you know, hasn't posted odds for certain fights, but you know they got so much money coming out their ass they don't give a shit if they screw anything up.
Yeah, anymore. I mean, I think anybody looking at the card after the changes has to realize mm-hmm. that it's a better card.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a better fight, heavyweight fight than Jones Miocic. You just don't expect to pay the premium for the mm-hmm. names of it. You know what I mean? It's not a disrespect to these fighters to go, well, man, maybe I'll take a refund on a $700 mm-hmm. ticket because that ticket shouldn't have been $700 if this is the fights. You know, it should have been about half that is how the UFC would normally have it. So, it shouldn't be a disrespect, but this is a hell of a fight, man.
Yeah, no, it's a great fight. I'm with you on the Pavlovich, actually. I thought you and I were going to go a different way on this one. But, I mean, just to you know, guess to everything you said, you know, who he's fought, where he's fought before he got here says a lot about Pavlovich, and there's a reason why he's number two.
I mean, he's 18-1, and his only loss was to Alistair Overeem.
Yeah,
you know, in his UFC debut. So mm-hmm. I mean, that's at a time when Overeem was, you know, still handling pretty damn good business inside the cage. So
mm-hmm.
that brings the old co-main event to the main event now: Jiří Procházka and Alex Paheja. Paheja, the former middleweight champion, coming off of his loss coming off a win over Jan Błachowicz mm-hmm. At light heavyweight to earn this title fight, and Jiří Procházka, who gave up his belt after defeating Glover Teixeira a couple years ago now. This is another one like to me like this. I fights like this remind me of Pride. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't always have to, you know what
I mean?
That's
a good way to put it.
You know, like both of the top two fights remind me of Pride fights. Like it's two guys that are like international killers from the United, you know, outside the United States, because mm-hmm. that's obviously where we're based, but you know, and that are just killers that are going to put on a show. I mean, I don't see how this turns into anything than different than Krokop versus Wanderlei Silva. I mean, it's going to, somebody's going down hard. I think Paheya's probably going to land something on Jiří just because Jiří tends to get hit. His fights are battles. And I don't think Paheya hasn't proven somebody to me that you can take one from. That's the difference. I don't, until somebody just takes one of his shots and shakes it off. But pretty much when he lands that hook, he's put everybody I've seen so far.
What's crazy, it doesn't look like he winds anything up either. It's just so precise and so crisp.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, the way he throws his punches are perfect. And Prohaska's more of a freewheeling, you know, he could land a spinning back elbow or something. And it would shock me because it would make me jump out of my seat, but it would.
Yeah. It'd be entertaining,
but I think if the fight goes into the fourth, fifth round, I think it favors Jiří because he's been there more. And I think he's maybe more, you know, somebody who's willing to, Alex got knocked out, but he hasn't really been in a fight where he's been on the ground taking elbows and getting beat either. So I don't know exactly how he will react to that. If that were to happen in this fight. So there is a little bit of an unknown there, but I think it ends up on the feet. I think within the first 12 minutes of this fight, somebody goes down hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was watching, and just for folks that aren't seeing the video version of this, we have the UFC.com listing up, and this fight actually does have the odds on it. They have Paheya right now, and this is Thursday night before they weigh in. Paheya's the minus 122 favorite versus Prohaska, who's a plus 102 underdog. I agree with those odds. I agree with what Matt just said, and I'm picking Paheya to win. The thing that really sold me on it is actually, Mighty Mouse does a lot of breakdowns now for fights on his YouTube channel and his socials and stuff like that. And he actually did a breakdown comparing how, especially in MMA, how Paheya deals with pressure fighters, guys that pressure him. And he used the Strickland fight as a big comparison for, and I wouldn't say Prohaska's fights like Strickland, but the commonality between them that Mighty Mouse pointed out was that there was their pressure and how he dealt with Strickland's pressure, and he can see how he can say Paheya doing the same thing. When he said that, especially if you don't watch Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson fights, you know, he's a very cerebral fighter. He's someone that studies the game a lot, and not just for himself, but just as a fan of the sport and a growing martial artist. You're always a student. You can never learn everything. You're always learning something, and he always has that thirst for knowledge. So I 100% agree with him, and that's what sold me on picking Paheya for this fight.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're all, me and you are.
Yeah, we're even across the board. Do we want to pick a random a tiebreaker down here somewhere? Matt, the Madsen. I'll take Madsen. Who are you taking
for Gordon? Come on, you can't ask me that. Of course, I'm picking Jared Gordon.
All right, well, there you go. There's our tiebreaker.
I think Jared Gordon, man, he's literally part of the City Pizza crew. Like I said, that was him and Sergio De Silva were boys and. I'm not going to pick against.
Oh, you got the favorite anyway. So
yeah.
So that'll be the tiebreaker for the event. But I'm super excited for this. This is 6 p.m. Eastern time. Prelims kick off on Saturday. The game bread bare knuckle tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern prelim time.
Yes, sir.
And that gets going quick. Lombard's like the third fight in that. So.
Yeah, I feel bad that, I mean, like the Mecca and the Cage Titans card, you know, I work for Spectation Sports and I talk to those fighters, and, you know, I'm probably going to wind up watching those fights on Sunday because all this is happening around the same time. And, when the UFC's in my neck of the woods, I'm not going to not watch it. So I always watch them anyway.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about YouTube is you can always catch up on it. It's free. It's always there. You can watch it even, you know, on you know, you can watch it before the UFC fights if you just want to make it a Saturday, you know, if your Friday night's got other plans for anybody out there.
Yeah.
On Veterans Day weekend.
I may, for folks, if you're going to the weigh-ins or anything tomorrow, I may be there. So if you see me with my coast-to-coast combat gear on, please say hello. But it's a big maybe because there's a lot of stuff going on tomorrow.
All right. Until then, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Ed Carb on Twitch. And that'll pretty much do it, folks. Enjoy your weekend, and enjoy the fights. We'll be back next week with another show of what's going on in the world of MMA.
Yeah, and also happy Veterans Day to anybody that served. I mean, don't forget it's Veterans Day. Make sure you see a vet out there, you buy him a drink.
There you go.